I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. You'd know he's living and death has died.
I asked Seth if he'd sing that because of what I'll be preaching on here in just a moment or two. If you know him like I know him, if you feel him like I feel him. But you know, we live in a day where most Baptists don't act like that. They live as if they don't know him, and they walk as if they never feel him. Amen? Just being honest. Well, if you got that good King James Bible, I'm going to make you work for a while, okay? I'm going to make you work for a while, then I'll preach for a while. Is that fair? But I'll preach longer than you work, okay? All right. But I want you to turn to the Proverbs. We're in chapter 1 to start. Proverbs chapter 1. Got about 4 verses of Scripture that's going to give me a real long title to today's message. All right? We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1. Let everybody get there. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 7. What's the first word? Y'all sound like a bunch of Presbyterians on Sunday morning. Amen? What's the first word?
The.
The. Now y'all getting dignified, amen. I'm from Arkansas and I say thee, amen. But I know there's certain times when we say have to say the, okay. All right. So if you want to say thee or the, we're still on the same track, all right? All right. The. And here they tell us that we pronounce it the, okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise the wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now turn to Proverbs 19. In chapter 19 of the Proverbs. I told you I'm going to make you work. I'm building up steam to preach a while, okay? Proverbs 19, verse 23. What's the first word there? Boy, it sure is. There it is again. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now I want you to turn back to the left to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And we're going to look at verse 9. What's the first word? For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Boy, I like to hear all those, the ruffling and the rustling of those pages. Man, I always tell you, when you come to church, bring your Bible. Amen. If you don't, it's like going to war without a gun. Amen. Always bring that Bible. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So here's the title for today's message. Are you satisfied? If not, why not? If you're not satisfied, what's it going to take to get you satisfied? Now that's a very long title to today's message. Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful privilege we have to be in this place that we call the house of the Lord, where the local church, Trinity Baptist Church, meets and meets on a regular basis. Lord, I'm encouraged as a pastor to see the goodly number we have today. Good attendance, largest Sunday school attendance in several years. Thankful for those who've come in to join us in the auditorium now for the preaching hour. Lord, I pray that you just give us a fresh breath from that other world today. Fresh breath from that heavenly world. Lord, give us good anointing. Give us good recall. Help us, Lord, to be kind and bold at the same time as we preach from the Word of God today. I pray you'd use it for your honor and your glory. May we have lasting results as a result of the preaching today. And all this accomplished, we'd be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in that name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Are you satisfied? Most folks aren't. If you're not satisfied, why not? Now, you may or may not have noticed in at least three of the verses that I were reading, and so I'm going to point out a phrase in each of those last three. For example, Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, and he that hath it, that is, the fear of the Lord, he that hath the fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied. Then in Psalm 107, 9, it gives us this promise. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Now that's a clear statement. That's a promise. He satisfieth the longing soul. So if people are walking through life, and I'm talking about Baptist folk, that are not satisfied, then they haven't come to the dinner table. For the promise here is, He satisfieth the longing soul. Then Isaiah, boy, I mean, he just takes the butcher knife to this whole thing. He says, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? The reason the average Baptist is not satisfied today is because they've been eating at the wrong table, and they're spending their money for things that do not satisfy. Everybody okay so far? All right. Okay, well, I'm off to a pretty good start. Amen. I think of my preacher friend, Brother Swinner. Brother David Swinner. I've heard him preach many times, and I've heard him tell this story more than once. And Seth's going to relate to this as soon as I mention it. Swinner, that's a Polish name. He's a Polak, but he can't help that. Amen. He's still a good man, a good preacher. He grew up in Chicago. He said when he was a boy growing up in Chicago, that's back in the days when, you know, they still have them called hobos. Well, he said one day this particular hobo knocked on their door one morning early for breakfast. He said those hobos, they sleep in tunnels and trestles and different places, but the first light that comes on of a morning, that's the door they knock on. And he said this morning that hobo knocked on their door, said Daddy and Mom invited him in, said she had breakfast almost ready, good homemade cathead biscuits and gravy. And said they set the hobo down at the table. They passed him one of them big old cathead biscuits, and he opened it up and said, you want some gravy on it? He said, yeah, I do. So Mom poured some gravy on it. He said, just a little bit more. So she put some more gravy on it. He said, just a little bit more. And so Brother David said, she put a little bit more, and he said, just a little bit more. And he said, by then, there wasn't much more left. Amen. But you know, that's an opening illustration. It's for some reason or other, the average person today is not satisfied. They want just a little bit more. And think they've got to have just a little bit more before they can ever be satisfied. Now, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is supposed to satisfy. Isn't that what it just said? He satisfieth the longing soul. Now, He makes that promise, but yet most folk are not satisfied. They go through life. I wonder, and I pose the question, why is it then that professed Christians go to Hollywood movies that promote sex? Boy, I lost it then. Y'all was with me for a little while. If Jesus promises to satisfy us, then why is it so many folk go to Hollywood to try to find satisfaction and spend their money on things that promote sex, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, foul language? Enough said? Why? Why? Why do they keep doing those things? Why do professed Christians indulge in all those things? Why do too many professed Christians keep beer in their refrigerators? Why do they have a social drink in a restaurant with friends? If a beer is relaxing and satisfying, and I've had folks tell me and say, well, after work, I just drank a beer to kind of satisfy and relax. How come they have to go back for another one? Hello? If it satisfies, why do they have to go back for another one? So they're not telling the truth, amen? It's not satisfying. Why do they spend money for things that never satisfy? Have you noticed that worldly pleasures are very expensive? Very, very expensive. I've never understood why anybody, this is beyond comprehension, why anybody would spend $600, $700, $800, $900 and thousands of dollars to go to a professional ball game, like the Super Bowl or NBA final or something like that. As Isaiah said, spend their money on things that just don't satisfy. I'm telling you, worldly pleasure is very expensive. Very, very expensive. I shared this briefly Wednesday night, but I'll just give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Now, if you smoke cigarettes, I'll still be your friend. But let me show you what happens to you, okay? Everybody okay? No, I'm just telling the truth. I'd hold up rather you get mad at me for telling the truth and lying. Amen. Consider this. And this is being very lenient. Most people who smoke, smoke more than a pack a day. But I'm going to be very fair with you, okay? Let's suppose they start smoking as teenagers because they think it's cool. You know, they do it because their friends are doing it. You know, and they won't go along with the crowd. You can smoke one pack of cigarettes, and I'm going to, let's say $5. Some of them cost more than that. But I'm going to use the $5 figure, okay? You smoke one pack of cigarettes at $5 a pack, $5 a day, that's $35 a week, and you smoke for 40 years, you've burned up $73,000. And that would buy an average house today. And then there's no misunderstanding as to why so many people in their senior years live from hand to mouth, so to speak, because they've burned it all up through the years. Amen? Amen? What's the difference in lighting a cigarette and puffing on it and throwing it down? Why don't you just go ahead and take your $5 bill and stick a match to it and burn it up? What'd be the difference? If I get up here in this pulpit and take out a $5 bill and stick a match to it and burn it up, y'all would want to fire me. Hello? Come on, you'd want to run me out of town. Well, these teenagers would be up here trying to fight to get that $5, wouldn't you? I don't blame you. I would too. Now, here's another one. I'm going to hammer on this one for just a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. I hadn't been through Newport in a long time. We bypass it going to Walnut Ridge. And unless you run out of gas, have to stop and get some gas. But I had to make a phone call because I don't know what beer costs. I really don't. Now, if you go through town, you find out because they got it advertised everywhere. But I'll say this before I get into this thing too deep. They're going to keep it cheaper than Coca-Cola. I guarantee you they're going to keep it cheaper than Coca-Cola. Because back in January, Brother Mac, when they're getting ready for that Super Bowl, I was watching the news one night, and they had this was on the news, that all the beer people that was paying millions and millions of dollars, something like $3 and $4 million a minute for advertising, and they went so far as to say this. They said, all of our commercials are geared that we're going to try to reach that age 20 to 22 group. That's the group we got to get after, because you see, that's the group that's gone away from alcohol so much to the illegal drugs. And they said, we've got to get that crowd back. Now that tells you how sorry and low down and uncaring the alcohol crowd is. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you for helping me out. Amen. But think about this. I found out. I made a phone call. And they told me that you can get a 12-pack for $10.50. That's less than a dollar. You can't get a Coke for that. Most places, more than that. But see, they're going to keep it cheap to make it attractive and lure that crowd into that. But let's just suppose, you know, you've got to have one when you get home. You've had a rough day at the office. You've had a bad day at work. And you're going to stop on the way and happy hour, and you're going to leap in and get you one, and then you're going to limp out. Amen. That crowd goes in, looks like they're miserable, and they walk out the same way. Amen. Something didn't happen. Amen. Something didn't take place when they went inside. They're going to go in and get relaxed, and they come out, limp out, and go home. When they ought to went home, to wife and kids enjoyed a good supper. Amen. But instead, they stop. Okay, let's be very careful about it. Let's just suppose they drank a 12-pack once a week at $10.50. That's $546 a year, and after 40 years, they've guzzled down $21,840. What have they got in return for it? Waste their money. It's no secret. The biggest problem among modern-day Christians, and I'm talking about Baptist crowd now, amen? I'm talking about the Baptist crowd. The biggest problem among Baptists today is carnality. They're not satisfied following spiritual things. Carnal comes from the Greek word karna, And it also gives us the word carnival. Amen. I told us a few weeks ago, but it kind of reminds me of colored folks. I went to church one time. Went to a carnival one time, and he wanted to ride the merry-go-round. She said, "You don't need to ride that merry-go-round." He said, "I'm going to ride that merry-go-round." So he jumped on the merry-go-round. He made a few circles, stopped, and he got off. She said, "Now see what I mean?" Said, "You spent your money." Said, "You got on, and you got off right where you got on, and you ain't been nowhere." That's what the world will do for you, honey. Amen. You spend all your money on things that don't amount to a hill of beans. You get on and you get off and you ain't been nowhere. You haven't accomplished anything good. Carnality is destroying Baptist folks in our day. We have folks, they make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. They get baptized, but they continue to live as if they're not saved. That's what a carnal Christian is. They've made a profession. They've been baptized. I'm not going to say they're not saved, but they continue to live as if they're not saved. That's a carnal Christian for you. Too many church members are what I call stillborn. Hello. The Bible says you've got to be born again. We've got too many Baptist folks, they're stillborn. Like a stillborn baby. They have no life. They have zero spiritual instincts. The real problem is they've never grown up. Hello. They're still spiritual babies. The day I was ordained to preach, years ago, Brother Chase, my pastor was in the pulpit and I was sitting over there and he looked at me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you may as well get used to it." He said, "There's going to be days when you're going to find yourself burping 300-pound church members." At that time, I weighed 130 pounds. Did you just see me trying to burping 300-pound church members? Do you know what? You may not weigh 300 pounds, but I found out what he was trying to tell me was the truth. Carnality. There are those that you continually going to have to be burping to keep them going. Amen? I mean to keep them moving. Keep them moving. It's harder and harder and harder to get folk in church. And it's even more difficult to keep them in church when you get them there. Because they go through life, carnal, chips on the shoulder, just waiting for somebody to punch it off. Amen? Amen. Babies, spiritual babies, never grow up. Feelings are just out on the edge all the time. Doesn't take just anything to just tick them off. Amen? Get over it. Amen? Everybody still okay? Amen. Get over it. Grow up. Quit being spiritual babies. Quit being so carnal. Makes everybody else look bad. Need to grow up. Well, that went over real good. Amen. Evidently, we do a poor job teaching our children when they're growing up how to make the right decisions in life. Potential dates, potential mates. I'd want to think that I did a fair job of teaching my children. First of all, we just didn't let them date. Y'all want to know what the Bible says about dating? If you do, raise your hand. You want to know what the Bible says about it? Well, I'm going to tell you anyhow. I mean, I've got y'all so spooked, y'all scared of me already, ain't you? I mean, I've even got y'all so dated, y'all don't know what's going to come out of my mouth next. Y'all won't even vote, amen? If it's a business meeting, you'd be voting. There wasn't a single hand raised. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about dating. Nothing. Nothing. But you're going to do it anyway. How many agree with that? Yeah, I got some action on that. They're going to do it. So we may as well begin to teach them some things they ought to look for when they begin to date. Amen? I'll start with the girls. That's a pretty good group. Yeah, but y'all don't know what's coming after that. Young ladies, you young folks, listen to me. When you start eyeing another boy, you think, he sure is handsome. He sure is cute. Before you decide you want to date him, there's some things that you ought to consider. Observe him and see what he talks about. What's his conversation about? What controls his thinking? Does he ever talk about his church? I mean, in good taste, does he ever speak about his church? Does he ever say, "Boy, I'm sure glad I went to church last Sunday"? Boy, sure did enjoy that Sunday school class. Boy, sure did enjoy that sermon that preacher preached. Does he talk about his church? Does he ever mention God? Does he ever talk kindly about God? Does he ever mention Jesus? Does he ever say anything about his Bible? Does he ever tell you anything about what he just read in the Bible the day before? Does he ever offer to pray with you? Girls, y'all listen to me. Hey, you can tell a whole lot about a person's character by their speech. By the way they talk. Or they tell you about your wild parties. Are they spiritual? Are they carnal? Hey, I'm just trying to help you out. You said, a preacher, if you talked about all that stuff, you said, what's the answer? Come to grips with reality. Come to grips with reality. I keep going back to those scriptures that I read a few moments ago. He that hath the fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied. For he satisfieth the longing soul. You labor for that which satisfieth not. Far too many folk, professed Christians, are just not satisfied. You know, I'm thinking of the old prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. I'm glad God put that in the Bible, ain't you? I study that guy's lifestyle often. I'm glad that's in the Bible. I want to share something with you. You know, you've heard it so many times. You know, he went to his father and he said, I want my portion of the inheritance now. And so he gets it and he takes off. And Luke chapter 15, verse 13, says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasted his substance with riotous living. It's so easy to do that. To waste what God gives us. You know, too many folks, I think, have the mentality, I go to church on Sunday and I pay my tithes, I can do what I want to with the rest of it. No, that's not true. God still holds us responsible as to how we disperse our substance, our money, what He gives to us. Danny Langston, after 22 years here, finally left us. God have mercy on his soul. Amen. But I heard him make a statement one time I've never forgotten, Brother Mac. We was talking one day, and Brother Danny made this statement. He said, whether I make a little or whether I make a lot, I always save a little. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Whether you make a little or make a lot, save a little. Just because you got it don't mean you have to waste it. That prodigal son went out and wasted his substance, wasted his money. Now, notice verse 14. Notice what happened after he done that. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He began to be in want. The average American family, you let them miss one paycheck, and they're in trouble. Been working for years. Everybody still okay? Been working for years and years and years and years and years, and they miss one paycheck. They stand a chance of losing everything they got. If you get mad at me, you get over it. That's very poor business. That's very poor business. Amen. Doesn't speak very well of management skills. Proverbs 21, verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. A foolish man spendeth it up. So what's the answer? Come to grips with reality and realize that living for the world is very expensive and it'll keep you broke all the time. And then number two, and I'll wrap it up here shortly, return to the well. That prodigal son went back home. He returned to the well. Now let me give an illustration of what I'm talking about. Some of the young folks, you just have to trust us, but us old folks remember this. Back when Muhammad Ali, of course his birth name was Cassius Clay, he became a Muslim, changed his name, Muhammad Ali. He was to fight Joe Frazier. in the Philippines. He entitled it The Thriller in Manila. The Thriller in Manila. Now, after the thing was over, he made this statement. He said, I have never been hit so hard in my life as Joe Frazier hit me. He said, in the 11th round, he had me whipped. I was done. He had beat me. He'd whipped me. I had never been hit that hard by any boxer in my life. And he made this statement. But I went to the well one more time. And he knocked him out in the 12th. One. He said, I went to the well one more time. That prodigal son walked away from the well. He wound up hungry and starving. But he came to himself. And notice what happened when he went back to the well. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. He arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion and ran on him, fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Quite a change in attitude, amen? Walked away from the well, got hungry and starving. But he came to himself, he returns to the well. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. What did he get when he came back to the well? New suit of clothes, new ring, new shoes, and a T-bone steak. Well, I'm saying he made a pretty wise decision, don't you? He came back to the well one more time. And he also realized that everything he sought in the world was already at home. That old expression, grass is greener on the other side of the fence. If it is, how come the fellow disowned it, sold it? The devil is a liar and the father of all lies. He sold that prodigal son a lie. But I'm glad to know that that son came to himself and returned back to the well. Boy, when he got back to the well, he got new clothes, a ring, shoes, and that big old T-bone steak. Everything he'd been looking for out in the world, he'd walked away from and realized that. Consider this. One more time. I keep going back to those scriptures that I read at the beginning. The fear of the Lord, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Before you can get satisfied in the Lord Jesus, you probably just have to cut out some things. Mark chapter 9, the Lord said, thy hand offend thee, cut it off. He said, thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now, he wasn't recommending folks go out plucking their eyes out. Because I've learned this. We're all sinners. We're sinners with two eyes. If you pluck out an eye, you're going to be a one-eyed sinner. The application there especially, he was saying this. If you're going to walk with me, if you're going to be happy with me, if you're going to be satisfied, and your longing soul and your thirsting soul is going to find satisfaction, he said, you probably just have to cut out some things. You probably just have to mark a few things off the calendar. Hollywood won't make me a better preacher. Hollywood won't make you a better Sunday school teacher. Hollywood won't make you a better deacon. Hollywood won't make you a better Christian. Hollywood doesn't produce better churches. So I'm beginning to wrap it up with these questions. When do you know you're satisfied? Good question. When do you realize you're satisfied? Well, how about this? Satisfied folks love coming to church, don't they? Satisfied folks love reading their Bible. every day. Satisfied folks enjoy a good prayer life. Satisfied folks enjoy being around other Christians. Satisfied Christians enjoy spending time with their families. There's a song used to teach the kids at youth camp. Seth, come up here and help me a minute, son. I know I'm going to disappoint y'all by not singing, but I preach and I'm tired, okay? So I'll hold off my talent of singing. Step up here a minute. You remember that song you sang, I'm feasting on milk and honey. It satisfies, Lord, it satisfies. No, he don't know about it. All right. Well, get on over here. I'll teach it to you, amen? I'm going to teach it to you. I am feasting on milk and honey. I am feasting on milk and honey. I am feasting on milk and honey. It satisfies. It satisfies. Go sit down, boy. You didn't help me out, amen? Go sit down. Amen. There's always some things we forget to teach our kids, amen? So I didn't teach him that. What are you feasting on this morning? Are you satisfied? Are you feasting on the things of the world? Are you feasting on spiritual things? Are you satisfied? If not, why not? There are folks that's heard this message, and I'm going to be very blunt with you. You need to get back to the well. You need to return to the well. Get back to where you were the day you realized you were a sinner and you called on Jesus and got saved. Some of you just strayed like the prodigal. You need to get back to the well one more time. Let's stand together very quietly.